This is John Floridis. On tonight's Musician's Spotlight, we feature a special encore broadcast of our visit with composer David Maslanka. David passed away on August 6, 2017. We offer this program as a tribute to his life and to his music. Hello and welcome to Musician's Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome David Maslanka to our studio today. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much, John.
Many of our listeners will be familiar with David's work through a very illustrious career in composing for many years. Born in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and been a resident of Missoula for quite some time now, too.
Almost 20 years.
A graduate of the Oberlin Conservatory and a Master's of Music and Doctor of Philosophy, both from Michigan State University, and winner of numerous awards and fellowships, and served as guest composer for over 100 universities, music festivals, and conferences. He's composed over 100 pieces for choir, concert band, chamber music, and orchestra, and most well-known for your work with wind ensemble, I think.
Right.
And included in all this is 8 symphonies, 9 concerti, and a full mass. One of the reasons that I'm most excited to have you on the show is that I think this is the first time that we've had someone who is first and foremost a composer. And I guess the first question I wanted to ask was, at what point did you become a composer?
Well, I think early on, it was a matter of discovering that fact. I think composers are born, and they either discover it or they don't discover it. But I began to be attracted to it when I was in high school. Began to think, well, hearing music, I could also do that. And then when I got to Oberlin in my freshman year, I had a roommate who was a violinist, and he kept writing 8 measures of a string quartet. And I sat down and wrote 20 pages of a string quartet and said, okay, this is fun. This is interesting. And it was at that point, actually, that I began to think seriously about it.
David, one of the descriptions I have read about you and your work, a composer who works from a meditative standpoint of spiritual inspiration.
I think I want to say that every musician uses this, right? Whether they're conscious of it or not is another thing. Mm-hmm. I think every artist has this connection. I think every human being has this connection. It's not limited. It's not a rare thing. It's what people are. The fact of bringing it to consciousness may be a relatively unusual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to be able to use it as a conscious function is a relatively unusual thing. But without it, nothing happens. Without it, humans don't do. They don't invent. So that everything that you see around you, everything that is, everything that has been invented by the human mind has come through this connection. Imagination, as we call it, is the connection to the unconscious and to the deep unconscious, not only your personal unconscious, but its connection to the thing which motivates the entire universe. Spiritual, for me, has to do with an awareness of the energetic level and how it moves through us as human beings. In religious terms, when people talk of God, they talk about the almost of God as a human being or as a being of some rational capacity. Well, yes, I think that term probably includes that. And yet the fundamental energy that we are all dealing with is not formed. It is not anything. And it becomes a thing, it becomes a formation through us as we do something. So the impulses that I receive that become music are not of themselves music, but they are the things which push my conscious mind, all my training, to produce musical sound in a certain way.
And with another person, they may channel that into another direction.
Oh, absolutely. So every person channels their energy into the things which are most vitally important to them. And it's exactly the same energy.
David, as I mentioned earlier, there's a specific section on your website. It's in the interview section, but it contains a lot of your writings and I believe some of your addresses to universities and some really great reading there. And I found it very inspiring. One of the things that I found most inspiring, I believe this comes from some of your thoughts on music and community. My composing is particular. I'm not writing a masterpiece for the future. I'm writing a piece for here, for now, for particular players out of the shining energy of this time. I love that. I love that term. When the moment is attended to so carefully, is stared at, if you will, then great creative energy is released and you as an audience share in this. Indeed, you complete the circle that makes the moment possible.
Community is the fundamental issue. We have the image of the composer, especially my type of composer, as one who is isolated and separated and works in private and then delivers a masterpiece to the earth here. I have discovered that, yes, I do work by myself. I do work in private. I have to be alone to do this. And yet the reason for doing it is to bring it to community and bring it to the needs of a particular community or particular individuals. That community is, for me, through performers and conductors, people who have done my work for many years, the ensemble playing the music is touching the same energy that I touched in writing the music. The notes on the page and their capacity to read those notes and to produce the musical sounds brings them into the same energy area that I was in composing the piece. So what my position in community is to act as a mediator of this deeper energy, to receive what the community wants to have happen, at least what they say they want to have happen, to perceive the depth of the energy that wants to come forward, and then to allow it to come through me and then back to the community. So it's a very particular function, and one which does not exist in isolation. Yeah. I am, even though I'm a private person and a quite a reserved person, and I do not enter into normal community very easily, my function is to be the mediator of this kind of energy for community. Yeah. I love this aspect of the work, the fact that what I am able to find by opening my conscious mind, and here is the critical issue, the opening of the conscious mind as opposed to presuming from the start that I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I cannot start a piece of music with the assumption that I know what it's about. I just can't, because I don't know what it's about. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I will seek out the energy of the people that have asked me to write And then I simply allow my conscious mind to relax so that things can come into it. It's a dreaming while awake. Musical impulses will come in. I'll receive all the musical impulses that want to come through at that particular time and start working with them, start sketching them out until they begin to tell me what the music wants to be, as opposed to me trying to tell the music what it's supposed to be. If I start with the idea that I know what this is about and I'm going to write da-da-da-da-da-da, it will stop me. And I will come to a blank wall, and then I have to stop and say, okay, what do you want? Yeah. What do you want me to do? Yeah.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with composer David Maslanka. And David, we've been talking about some pretty deep inspirations and philosophies about writing music and how you channel energy in the moment and from the subconscious mind into the conscious mind to get to the point of getting it to the community. How has this process changed, or maybe the question is, has it changed over the years? I assume it's something that has evolved over the years, but yes. Is it something that was pretty apparent to you fairly early on?
No, not apparent early on at all. It is a way of thinking which comes out of personal disaster. Mm-hmm. And I think that people who find extraordinary things often have found them in a hard way. That is that something awful happens to a person. Things fall apart. Difficulties happen, either physical illness or emotional illness. This was my path. This is not something that you can ask for. It happens to you, and all the accumulations of what it's called fate in a life point in a certain direction. But I think people who are listening will understand the idea that either mental or physical illness of an extreme sort can break a person, break the conscious mind, break your sense of who you think you are. Mm. And I think that's its function. That when you are broken in that way, then there's a need, obviously, to reconstruct if you're going to stay alive. And that reconstruction will be in different terms, because in the breaking apart of your presumptions of who you are and what you are in the world and how you relate to things and to people, breaking those apart opens the possibility for this other, the unformed, the unknown, to come through. Very interesting thing I'll tell as an anecdote. My wife was in a bookstore. We were in New York City, and a deck of tarot cards fell off the rack at her feet. And she said,
"That'll get your attention."
She said, "This is for David." Yeah. So she brought them home to me, and I began to work with the tarot cards. I never did become a very good tarot card reader, but I did understand the fundamental of it. But what happened was that as I contemplated each one of these cards, a huge amount of deep material, both from my psychological mind and from deeper sources than that, began to flood into my awareness. And I began to keep a journal of it and to simply go along with what seemed like bizarre experience at that particular point. At the same time, I had come into ideas about moving the other way with my conscious mind into this deeper place. And then I connected it with walking. Walking is one of the most powerful facilitators of creative work because you join left and right, left and right, left and right, and left and right sides of the brain.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
By this. And through the walking, you release your physical tension, you release your physical hold, your mental hold on yourself, and allow the flow of energy between unconscious and conscious minds. So it has been a matter of practice in the same way that the musician practices.
David, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned the importance of walking and just the coordination of right and left feet, and making the parallel to the right and left hemispheres of the brain. I wondered if you felt that that also spoke to a balance between those two parts of the brain, those two things that we think of as being right brain, left brain. Mm-hmm. If how important that is to the compositional process.
Very important. Our way of dealing with stress in this society is to take a pill or to have a drink. Creativity, the creative force, if it becomes powerful in you, is an upsetting thing. It simply is. It pushes hard, and it burns harder than you would want it to burn or to understand it would burn. I know over the course of my writing that I've had the feeling that I am being used, that a thing is moving through me that is moving through me because it's possible to go through me, but it doesn't really care if I get burned in the process. Mm-hmm. And so there have been times when I've felt that I was not going to be able to finish a project because it was so hard to do and it was pushing me so hard. And because that is true, it has been my requirement over a very long time to understand how to be normal. That's a crazy idea, how to be normal. That means to take care of myself, to live a normal, moderate life. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I do exercise. I eat decent food, and so on. And I'm not interested in dissipating myself. in any way, or to seek unusual experience for its own sake. I mean, I'm just really a normal kind of, not very exciting guy, you know? And that's, I am that consciously working toward that in order to allow this other extraordinary experience, mm-hmm. The capacity to move through me without killing me. Mm. So, we laugh at it, but it's how this goes.
DavidMaslanka.com is the name of the website where folks can find out a great deal about David as a composer, information about his work, his pieces, and as we've mentioned, his writing. And again, Maslanka. And also, a lot of the recordings are available on iTunes for downloading. Thank you so much for making time to come in and speak with us today. It's been
my
a pleasure.
Great pleasure. Right.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I hope we get a chance to visit again.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it very much.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to a special encore broadcast from the Archives of Musicians Spotlight of our program featuring composer David Maslanka, who died on August 6, 2017. A musician of tremendous talent, depth, and integrity, and a generous and kind-hearted man, he'll be greatly missed. You can contact us through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.